Good evening, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, the host here on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. And I have some exciting news for you that we want you to be a part of. On Saturday, May 7th, we are having our annual fundraiser. It's the Anchored in Jesus Luncheon Cruise, and it will take place on the Gateway Clipper Princess. It will begin at 12 o'clock and go until 2:30. And we want you to come and be a part of this as we share some exciting things about the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry. We will have special singing from our male chorus. We'll have a special MC that I will tell you about at another time. And then I will be doing a teaching on Bible prophecy in today's world and how we should live. A lot of people don't want to tackle Bible prophecy, but we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about the future and how that we are living in times of fulfilled prophecy. And so why don't you come and join us on Saturday, May 7th from 12 noon till 2:30 as we have our annual fundraiser on the Gateway Clipper Princess. Look forward to seeing you there.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze continues our series titled, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of On the Road Again.
We've been in a series on holiness. The title of the series has been Take Time to Be Holy. And this month, we are speaking on holiness, but we're focusing on holiness in relationships. And so we've been challenging the people in the congregation to apply the message, first and foremost, to however God directs you to apply it. But then we want you to focus on application in relationships also. And, you know, we started this series by talking about resolutions. We said that there was a 19-year-old by the name of Jonathan Edwards, godly young man, and he made 70 resolutions to a holy life. And we were challenging the congregation each week that when you hear the message on holiness, that you would make a resolution as you walk away from the message to act upon something that God laid on your heart. So we've been challenging everyone on the whole idea of holiness in relationships. Last week, we talked about the highway to holiness, the highway to holiness in Isaiah 35. If you weren't here, you want to get that message. Isaiah 35 is a powerful chapter on the highway of holiness. And we said that there were a couple of benefits to holiness. When we think about the benefits of holiness, we said that there was refreshment. Remember, it talked about how that the dry land, the parched land, would be watered. So on this highway, there's refreshment. And then it talked about those who had disabilities and how that they would be healed. And we said that there's restoration on this highway. And the third thing that we said was, on this highway, there's no ravenous, there's no wild animals that can do harm to us on this highway. So we said that there's refuge on the highway of holiness. Today, as we come, we want to look at Psalm 51, if you'd open your Bibles there, because we realize that on this highway, unless we are intentional, we have a tendency to wander off the road. And so Psalm 51 lets us know how to get back on the highway whenever we have strayed from the path that God has led us on. Let us look at Psalm 51. He says in verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God. according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desireth truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. On the road again. At times, we may find ourselves off of this highway, this holy highway that God has called us to walk. And the thing that draws us off of this highway is sin. And sometimes sin comes in various forms, and we need to be aware of the subtle ways that sin can come upon us to draw us off the highway of holiness. There are the sins of omission, and these are sins that God has called us to do something. He has told us to do something, and we have failed to do it. That is a sin of omission, and that can take you off of this highway. There are sins of commission, and that means that you have done something that you are not supposed to do, that you have violated the word of God, you have violated the will of God, and so you have committed a sin of commission. And then we see that there are external sins. There are sins that you commit that everybody can see or that other people can see. But then, my brothers and sisters, there are those sins that are internal and that only you and God know about. Things that go on in the deep, dark recesses of your heart, and only God knows about them. And that's a sin that will take you off the highway of holiness. And then we see that there are deliberate sins. Some people intentionally go out and sin, while others commit unintentional sins. They may be sins that you didn't mean to commit, and sometimes they're even sins that you don't even know you committed. And yet and still, you find your fellowship with God hindered. You find your fellowship with God blocked. These are things that will take you off of the highway. In Psalm 51, David gives us direction, and he tells us, oh, praise his name, oh, hallelujah. He tells us how to get on the road again. Making music with your friends, just get on the road again. If you look at your notes, let me give you the introduction to Psalm 51. Even though David was one of God's choice servants. Now, before I go on to read, let me say this, that David was on fire for God. The Bible says that he was zealous for the Lord in 1 Samuel 17:26. In 2 Samuel 23:1, it says that he was the sweet psalmist of Israel, that he sang songs and wrote psalms unlike any other of his day, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. And in 1 Kings 15:5, it says that David was a righteous man. So we're not talking about some guy that's on the street corner. We're not talking about somebody who is down and out hanging in the local honky-tonk. We're talking about a man of God that loved the Lord with all his heart. And we see that a couple times he entered into dark places in his life. One dark period of his life was after he committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And if you want to read that sin in all of its gory details, you can read later 2 Samuel chapter 11. The superscription to this psalm, Psalm 51, if you look at it, the superscription is that title that comes before the psalm. And you'll notice in your Bible it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. David committed a sexual sin with Bathsheba. And he went, some people believe, for almost a year before he confessed the sin, before he dealt with this sin. And he didn't really begin to deal with the sin until the man of God, Nathan the prophet, came, gave him a parable. David was enraged, and Nathan the prophet said, the man who committed the offense in the parable, David, you are the man. And finally, David came to the realization that he had sinned. And so we see here, during and after his act, look at all these sins that David committed. Keep in mind, he was zealous for the Lord. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. Look what this man of God did. He committed the sin of slothfulness. He should have been out on the battlefield. The Bible says this was a time when kings went to war. He committed the sin of lust. He went out and looked at his on his porch, and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath, and he lusted after her. He sent for her and committed adultery. He tried to get her husband to come back and lay with her because she had gotten pregnant so that he would think that it was his child. And so he was practicing the art of deception. And then finally, we see that David was responsible for taking a man's life as a result of this sin in particular. And so the introduction to this psalm is David and his own personal sin. And now he comes to the Lord and he begins to work his way back on to this highway. He's trying to get back on this road. Again, let me read this. I don't want you to miss this. Zealous for the Lord, the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart. This was a man who was on the highway of holiness. And somehow, he got off. And it's not hard, my brothers and sisters. It's not hard to get off the highway of holiness. Some very insignificant and subtle thing may just draw you off. And the next thing you know, look how it started with David. It started because he committed the sin of slothfulness. He didn't get up until midday. He should have been up and on the battlefield. And it all started because of slothfulness, some insignificant sin. Now, slothfulness is a serious sin, but just think, you know, he was laid back. It's all right, man. I'm going to catch me a few extra Z's. I know I'm supposed to be on the field, but you know what? This is me time today. I'm going to spend some time on me. I'm going to take a couple extra winks in the sack. And when he got up, the next thing he know, that a man, maybe he went to bed on the highway of holiness. Maybe that night before he went to bed, the sweet psalmist of Israel was singing the Psalms of Zion. He was singing God's praises. He was meditating on the things of God. And the next day he got up. His life would be utterly turned upside down. And so now he realizes and he desires. Many people believe that Psalm 42, that when David wrote that, he was longing for the temple of God, that he had been separated from God's fellowship for about a year, that he didn't even go to the house of worship, because in Psalm 42, he says, I remember the days when we used to go up to the holy place together. And so here he is, realizing that he has been separated from God, desiring to get back on the highway of holiness. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're off this highway. Maybe you're walking in some type of sin. Maybe you're walking in some type of immoral relationship. Maybe you're dealing with something in your life that is not pleasing to God and you're not on the highway. But you know today God is calling you back to the highway. Psalm 42 is for you. Psalm 51 is for you. Because he tells us how to get back on this highway of holiness. The first thing that he says, that if you're going to get back on the highway, and I'm not going to go down through this passage verse by verse. I'm going to move around in the passage today. Psalm 51, verse 16. You have to go around the bend of brokenness. You have to go around the bend of brokenness. Look at verse 16. David said, I want to get back with God. I want to get on the highway. And you know what? I would offer a sacrifice. But Lord, I know this sin that I've committed, that you are not delighting in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Lord, I know that it would be very easy for me just to go down to the local farm and get a ram or a sheep or a goat or a bull, and to have somebody slay it and bring it to the temple, to bring it to the sanctuary and offer it up for you. It'd be very easy for me to do that, Lord. But that's not what you want. Where I'm at right now, God, that's not what you want. Lord, in verse 17, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. In your notes, it says it would have been very easy for David to go get an animal sacrifice and offer it to the Lord, but God was not looking for that from him. The sacrifice David needed to bring was a broken spirit, that is, one that is empty of self-effort, and a contrite heart, one that felt and expressed deep remorse and sorrow over sin. That's what God was looking for. He was looking for brokenness. And unless you are willing to come around the bend of brokenness, unless you are willing to fall on your face broken before God over your sin, it's going to be very difficult to get back on the highway of holiness. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Africa. And when I went to Africa, I was faced with a rude awakening. When we ended up going up in the upcountry, where there was no electricity, and there was no running water. And I remember the first night that I was up there, and I woke up in the morning, and the host at the house said, Pastor, you want to take a bath? And I said, yeah, sure. And so he led me to this room about 4x4. Nothing in the room at all, but a little hole in the floor and a basin of water, a rag, and some soap. After standing there for 5 minutes trying to figure out what to do, the Lord just said, get busy. And then I like to stay up late. I usually don't go to bed until after 11 o'clock. No electricity. You going to bed 8, 9 o'clock. The place where we stayed had an outhouse that you had to walk past livestock to get there. I've never had to go to the bathroom so many times a night. And I remember laying in the bed, and I got mad with Andre, who was our host. I got mad with God, and I wanted to go home. I was upset, jaws tight. And as I lay there, the Lord said, Bill, that plane ticket is not for 2 weeks from today, and you're not going anywhere. And it was at that point that the Lord broke me. It was at that point that the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need to get rid of self. You need to realize that I've called you here for a reason, that I have a purpose and I have a plan for you. And it was at that point that I was broken to myself. And it was at that point that I realized that, you know, it wasn't me anymore. And I cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me for my attitude. Lord, forgive me for complaining and murmuring. And it was after that, the rest of the time, there was no more complaints from the kid. You know, I just was there to serve. And what God is saying here in Psalm 51, that if you're going to get back on this highway of holiness. See, I had got off the highway of holiness. I had allowed the things around me to get me off the highway of holiness. And as I lay there that night in that bed, broken and crying out to the Lord, God was able to restore me back on the road again. And the only way, my brothers and sisters, that you're going to get back is if you're broken. That you have to be empty of self-effort, and you have to feel deep remorse over your sin. And that's the beginning of getting back on the road. Notice what David said here again, verse 17. The sacrifices of God, the things that God wants, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The second thing that you have to do, and I didn't see this till I was studying this last night, and I got my pen out and I just started writing. But David gives us the best plan for confession that I've ever seen. If you want to know how to confess, verses 3 through 6 of Psalm 51 helps us to nail this thing right on the head. And as we go through this, I'm going to show you some things that you can really see if a person has been broken and if they're really confessing. And the first thing is that David accepted responsibility, wow, for his sin. How many people do we see that commit sin and never accept responsibility for it? It's amazing. One of my weaknesses, and I'll confess it, one of my weaknesses is watching these judge shows. Judge Matheson. That's one of my weaknesses. I got to confess. But it amazes me how that people will get on there, wreck somebody's car, the person take them to court and sue them.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of On the Road Again from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, On the Road Again, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, you can also request the entire 10-part series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, you can make it at anchoredinjesus.org or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that's Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.